Let us pray. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here with us. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon us in a special way and speak to all our hearts from your word this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Some words from the scripture lesson today, Mark chapter 1, verse 22. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. He taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. I must say that I'm always intrigued by the way life insurance companies try to sell us a new policy. I remember hearing of one that was called a total way of life. Now, the commercial for it went something like this. Our policy is tailored to fit into your total way of life. It allows you to make decisions. It's your right to do so. You make the decisions, and we'll tailor our policy to your total way of life. Now, it struck me that this slogan fits the contemporary mindset, the mood of our day, very well indeed. Indeed, it's like the popular phrase, do your own thing. After all, it's your life. Don't let anybody else tell you how to run it. You make the decisions you're told. You do what suits you. You call the shots. In one sense, this is good because each of us is an individual. And as a person, you've got certain God-given rights and gifts, and you can't fit into somebody else's mold. You've got to become what you are. But at another level, this do-your-own-thing mindset has something almost sinister about it. It has become a symbol of the revolt against authority that is so much part and parcel of life today. It means setting myself up as my authority. And if something is true for me, well, it is true. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. But of course, our society is being ripped apart today by the tension between anarchy on the one hand and authority on the other. Anarchy, of course, simply means to be without a ruler. It means to be without any order, any authority, or ruling power. And it's nothing new. In the days of the judges in the Bible, in the book of Judges, chapter 17, verse 6, we're told that there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that, of course, was anarchy. Now, there are two factors which make the revolt against authority and authoritarianism so intense today. One is the rapid rate of change. Everything is changing so rapidly today. Our information goes out of date so quickly, and it is difficult for anybody or any institution, the home or the school or the government or the church, to keep up with the change. And then the second factor that intensifies the questioning of authority is the high price tag that we place on personal freedom. We want the individual to have the right to his or her own beliefs and opinions. But what does this mean? Obviously, a rigid authoritarianism trying to stuff our convictions down the throats of someone else is out. But that still leaves us with the problem of true authority. You see, ultimately, you've got to have some authority to follow in your life. Now, for you, it may be yourself, it may be someone else, but what is your authority? Do you have an authority? Whom do you believe and follow and respect and live by? Who has the last word in your life? For example, do you believe that people are important? Do you believe that we ought to respect the rights and beliefs of others? And why do you believe that? Where did we ever get the idea that we should care about individuals and their needs and that people really matter? You see, it came from the Bible, the story that God made mankind, that God loves mankind, that the Son of God laid down his life for us. Never forget that the great drive for true freedom, whether it was in America or Africa or Asia and the Middle East, wasn't started by the followers of communism singing the song of Karl Marx, but the missionaries who came singing the freedom song of Jesus Christ. You see, this leads me to believe that if we want to know about true authority and true freedom, we need to look at what the Bible says about it. First of all, the Bible teaches that the final authority in this world is Almighty God. His authority is complete and eternal and unchanging. As the prophet Malachi, chapter 3, verse 6, puts it, I, the Lord, do not change. And as Psalm 24, verse 1 puts it, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So let us remember that these are the statements of Scripture, and we will never know what true authority is until we have recognized the authority of Almighty God in our lives. Now, sin, of course, is spiritual anarchy. Sin is rebellion against the authority of God. Turn back to the early pages of the Bible, as we're doing on Sunday evenings at the moment, and you'll find that the devil tempted Eve, and his temptation was to doubt God's authority. He said in Genesis 3, verse 1, did God say, you shall not eat any tree of the garden? God is not the authority, he said. You are. Don't listen to God. At its roots, or at the root of anarchy, or the anarchy of our day, is a symptom of the spirit of lawlessness, the refusal of men and women to recognize the authority of God and his word in their lives and live by it. They believe what they want to believe in their lives. Now, the biggest question we've got to settle is this. Did I get here by chance, or did I get here by God's design? Because, you see, if I'm here by chance, then I am the ultimate authority where my life is concerned. I am my own man. I can call the shots as I see them. But if I'm here by God's design, then God is the ultimate authority. I am God's man, and God is the one who can call the shots in my life. And then the Bible says that God has placed authority in his word too. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. It doesn't matter what governments or anybody else says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus' words will never pass away. Now, the Bible also teaches that God has delegated certain authority to men and women. God has delegated to governments authority to rule and restrain evil and maintain law and order in society. In addition, God has established a home, and in the home, he's given authority to parents to bring up their children, as Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 4, in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And again, the Bible teaches that God has placed his authority uniquely in the hands of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. To whom? To me. To Jesus. His teaching was with authority too. When he finished the Sermon on the Mount, it says in Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29, that people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one with authority and not as the scribes. In today's reading, in Mark 1, verse 22, we see there that the people said that Jesus taught with authority and not as the scribes. And then he called people to follow him, like the disciples, when he said, follow me, come after me. And we're told that their response to him and to his authority was to leave all and follow him. You see, he demanded first place to be the authority in the lives of his followers. And then Jesus forgave sins with authority too, something only God can do. On one occasion, when they brought a sick man to him, Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven. When those who heard him accused him of blasphemy, in Matthew 9, verse 2, Jesus answered, I will show you that I have authority to forgive sins. And to demonstrate this, he healed the paralyzed man and made him walk again. Yes, the friends of Jesus rejoiced in the fact that he spoke with authority. They heard him gladly. There was something fresh and independent and original and positive and relevant about everything that he said and did. He knew the way to heaven, for he had been there. He knew the principles and facts of the kingdom of God, for he was the God-man. His was the authority of an expert in the things of God and in the realm of the Spirit. Now, on many occasions, the Lord Jesus demonstrated his authority and his power and his right to command and his right to the obedience of his disciples. He demonstrated his authority over Satan and demons, as we saw today, over nature in the stilling of the storm, and finally, over death itself too. I wonder if you ever noticed that the life of Jesus Christ had the stamp of authority on it as well. You see, no one has ever lived as Jesus lived. Someone once said about him, "I believe that there is no one lovelier or deeper or more sympathetic or more perfect than Jesus Christ. He's always commanded the highest respect from men and women of all cultures and all generations." You see, there's an honesty and an integrity about Jesus' life, which meant that neither his closest friends, who were with him 24 hours a day, nor his enemies could find any fault in him. And yet, this was one of the most glorious facts about Jesus Christ. He loved ordinary people too, and cared for the lonely and the unloved, and identified himself with the despised and the oppressed. We hear this fact commented on so frequently in the Gospels. He had compassion on the sick and rejects of society, and by his attitudes and actions, he brought freedom and respect and dignity to women as well. But not only has no one ever lived as Jesus lived, no one has ever taught as Jesus taught either. His teachings were very profound, touching the deepest needs of men and women in every generation. What he taught is as relevant today as it was over 2,000 years ago. You see, in a remarkable way, Jesus Christ knew what was in the hearts of men and women. In various ways, he explained that the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. It is from within, out of our inmost being, that all the things that spoil our lives and the lives of others come. Jesus understood that our relationships with one another as human beings, and most seriously of all, with God himself, are all in a mess. He knew perfectly well how we hurt one another through our inherent selfishness. He taught that it was from the inside. From a person's heart came evil ideas which lead him or her to do immoral things and to rob and kill and commit adultery and be greedy, and so on. As we look at humanity, as we look at the history of the world and at the world today, we have simply and repeatedly discovered the hard way, the truth that Jesus taught about human nature 2,000 years ago. But the remarkable and revolutionary thing about Jesus' teaching was this. He said that he had the power. He had the power to change the very heart of man, and by so doing, change selfishness into service, hate into forgiveness, violence into compassion, and greed into generosity, and our pride into humility, and our lust into love. Were these idle words? No. This claim is what men and women have consistently found to be true when they became Christians, all down the centuries, in their own experience. You see, Jesus Christ came into this world not to condemn, but to forgive and to rescue and to save all those who brought their deepest needs to him. And then no one has ever seriously claimed for himself what Jesus claimed, as we said earlier. The writer of the Gospels who recorded the life of Jesus tell us that the people of Jesus' day were astonished at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority. He taught them as one with authority. Jesus declared that he knew the answers to the great questions of life, the questions of death and salvation and the way to heaven. And he claimed to have the right to speak. Someone has written, "I'm far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched and all the navies that ever sailed and all the parliaments that ever sat and the kings and presidents that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man upon earth as that one solitary life." Why? Because he is God. Everything about Jesus Christ, about his life and his teaching, has a compelling ring of truth about it. At the end of the first gospel, in the Great Commission before his ascension, it is recorded that Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Now the word which is translated power actually means in the Greek authority. Jesus is here declaring that all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. To him has been given the right to command the love and loyalty of his disciples and of all who follow him. Now the first disciples recognized and responded to this lordship, and in a wonderful way they became the channels through which the message of the gospel and God's love was communicated to the heart and lives of needy men and women. As we saw, nature recognized the authority of Christ too, and the demonic world recognized his authority, as we saw in today's reading, and they obeyed him. Disease at his touch too, and death itself surrendered its victims as people were being saved through Christ's death upon the cross of Calvary. If this is true, if all this really happened where Jesus Christ's life is concerned, I've got to ask you a vital question. What about you? Have you recognized Jesus Christ's authority in your life and responded to it? If you haven't already done so, you should respond to him by yielding your life to him. Come to him repentant and broken, confessing your sins, asking him to cleanse you from your sin by his precious blood shed for you upon the cross of Calvary. He is the only Savior. I believe that you should do this because of who he is, God's unique Son. And what he has said, and what he's done upon the cross, and the fact that he rose again from the dead, and he is alive today, and I can meet him for myself. And so can you. Yes, you should respond to him and yield your life to him because of what he can do in your heart and life, and through your life, too, for others. When you're yielded and fully surrendered to his love and his mercy and his grace. But have we accepted his authority and salvation and rule in our lives? If we are to be saved, if we are to live a complete and happy and contented life, if we are to get victory in our lives over Satan and temptation and sin and be saved and live for him forever, then Jesus Christ must reign in our hearts and lives. But does he do so? I wonder. In every area of it. You see, as the chorus puts it, Jesus is the answer for our world today. There is no other. Jesus is the way. Will you allow him to be all these things for you? To be the final authority in your life? Will you allow him to be your Savior and your King today? Remember Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says, God in these last days has spoken to us through his Son. allow him to be that final and complete word of God to you as you yield your life to him today. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we praise you for sending your Son to be our Savior and to die upon the cross for us. We thank you that he is the final authority in all things. We pray that he may be the final authority in our lives because we've asked him into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.